I'm so glad you made it safely. Pastor Charles mentioned that earlier, that we're so thankful that you have ventured out and arrived safely. We know that not everybody can. It is good to see you. And before we go into what I have prepared this morning, I want to draw your attention to the bulletin again. There is a lot of names on there. We've had a tough week. We've had a very difficult week with loss of life. Folks are still in the hospitals with COVID and other difficulties. And so I want to just encourage you to keep a close eye on the prayer list. We do have two funerals here. I have three funerals to do in the next few days. And Carla Lehigh lost her dad. I won't be doing that one. But we've had much loss this week. There was other people here this morning and in here today with their loved ones in the hospital. Obviously, we're still praying for Ron. And Sherry Engine was here earlier this morning. Her brother is in a similar condition, a Mayo hospital, very, very sick. Pastor Paul from the St. John's Church is still in the hospital, very sick. Annette Heldman is still there, but some better. And so please continue to pray for these people. There's a lot of names on there that are more than COVID. There's cancers and there are difficulties of all kinds. Please continue to lift them up in prayer. God is good, amen? And God is very aware of these circumstances, but the Scripture invites us to pray. And so I hope that you are, in fact, praying people and will, in fact, remember these people that have lost loved ones, that have sick loved ones, and are going through very difficult times. Today's message comes again from Romans. If you've got your Bible, more specifically, mainly from Romans 9. When you read through Romans 9, 10, and 11, the theme there really is primarily all the same subject matter. Yes, there are lots of verses in 9, 10, and 11 that venture off in a different tone a little bit. But the main theme in Romans 9, 10, and 11, all three of those chapters, is this. Paul is burdened by the lack of Israel's acceptance of Christ, the Messiah. Paul is burdened by that. And these three chapters can really be summarized in one of my Bibles. It is summarized like this. It's called Israel's Rejection of Christ. Paul is deeply concerned about that. They are his people, after all. And so there's a couple things I'm going to ask us today to ponder, and then a couple of points I'm going to make as I go through this. The first thing I want us to ponder, knowing what I just said about Paul's concern for Israel, I'll bring that into modern day terms just a little bit, but the first thing I want us to ponder, what have you done with the Messiah? And I simply ask that because you see the festive mood that we find ourselves in. It's Christmas time. It's the Advent season. We celebrate the birth of the Messiah. We do it every year. But Paul was burdened for the Jewish people because even though he had come, as John said, he come as the light, and they received him not. And Paul was burdened by this. And so my first question is to us today, what have we done with the Messiah? And I'll elaborate that on a little bit more. We know we celebrate this wonderful season. We know why we celebrate. We do it every year. But if we or the Jewish people or anyone else does not embrace and surrender to Christ as Messiah, Master, and Lord, then we may as well forget Christmas. You still with me? Jesus, this little cliche is used all the time, is the reason for this season. And we can say all day long, and I will say this when I get to the scripture, because the Jewish people said it, I believe in God. But if we miss the Messiah, if we miss why he has come, if we miss embracing him as the Lord of the universe, we've missed Christmas. Paul's burden here should be the burden of the church in the 21st century. Not that we need to be judgmental, I'm not saying that. But when you see what Paul says here in Romans 9 and 10, and he says it again at 11, he has this sorrow. He calls it this continual grief. Why? Because the Jewish people would say all day long, I believe in God. But they missed Jesus. They missed him. And that's what his burden is. I was having conversation earlier in the week with somebody from another community, but just happened to pass through here and stopped here. And we're talking about life, and we're talking about death, and we're talking about funerals and such. And he made a statement, and oftentimes we make these statements, well, he believed in God. Well, she believed in God. And friends, I'm here to tell you that the Jewish people of Jesus' time and the Jewish people of Paul's time believed in God also. Stay with me. They believed in God. And the book of James says, the devil believes in God and trembles. The Pharisees and Sadducees and those who rejected Christ and cried out, crucify him, believed in God. But they rejected the Messiah. Are you following me, friends? There is a difference. And this is what burdened Paul. There is a difference that says, I believe in God. That is good. Do not get me wrong. We need to subscribe to and believe in a creator God. But if we miss the Messiah, if we miss the real reason for the Christmas season that Christ came, incarnate God, if we miss that, then we may as well throw Christmas out. Paul's burden was because they missed it. Not all of them, but as a nation, they missed the Messiah. Let me say this, and I'll go to Scripture. My belief and yours, or the Jews of that time or today, must start with believing in God. Okay, we must start with that basic concept. But it cannot end there. It cannot end there by just that claim, okay, I believe in God. That's where we need to start. But listen to me, if we do not allow our belief in God to embrace his Son as Messiah and Lord, we can say all day long, I believe in God, and what does it mean? Our belief must move from believing in God to receiving his Son by faith. Our faith equation must also embrace the Messiah. The people of Paul's day did not. That's why his burden. And so my second question is, after what have you done with the Messiah? My second question is to the church, to believers, is our heart the same as Paul's? Look what he says, Romans chapter 9. I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. That's how he starts. Why does he have this great sorrow? He's going to get there. I've already told you why. Then he says in verse 3, chapter 9, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ. That means excommunicated, by the way. He said, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. He's talking about the Jewish people. And he said, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ if only my brethren, the fellow Jews, would come to know him as Lord. Because he recognized they had not as a nation. And so he says this, I shall read it straight through, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. So he makes this statement about how important the Jewish people are. They were the ones that were pertained to the adoption, the covenants, the giving of the law. It was all giving to them. Christ came for them. And they missed it. As a nation, they missed it. Now, when you read through the rest of that chapter, and you'll see a lot more of his heart and his burden. I want to jump forward to verse 30 because of time, and then press into chapter 10 for a couple of verses. Same conversation, he says in verse 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. They did not seek righteousness by faith. They sought righteousness by the works of the law. They missed the Messiah. But as it were, he continues on, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And if you have your Bible open, you can see he then quotes Old Testament scripture after that. You see what he's saying, friends? He has a burden for the lost condition of the Jewish people because they were still thinking, I must stick to the Mosaic law, I must work out my salvation by keeping the law and with works. And he said, they did not seek it by faith. They did not seek their righteousness by faith. If we do not embrace Christ by faith, and they did not as a nation, we have missed what Christmas is all about. Verse 10, or chapter 10, he takes it just a little further. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's his heart. Why would he say that? Because as a nation, they weren't. I look at the conditions that we find ourselves in America, friends. I gave you some statistics earlier this fall. And I think there's no other way to conclude that this nation is just like the nation of that Paul was talking about at that time. As a nation, we have rejected Christ as the Messiah. We call ourselves Christian, but we're not following Christ. Are you with me, friends? That's what burdened Paul. I'll give you two more verses, then we'll try to pull this all together. For I bear them witness, this is Romans 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant, unaware, I mean, if you don't like that terminology, or that you think that's too harsh, then use unaware. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You see what he's saying? They would say all day long, I believe in God, but they've not submitted to the righteousness of God. They've not submitted to the Christ that he offered. And he concludes, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. The Jewish people were seeking their own righteousness by keeping of the law. And I wonder if sometimes that's not what we're trying to do today in America, seeking out our own righteousness outside of Jesus. I've heard lots of arguments, and so have you. Perhaps you've used them, and perhaps so have I. Seeking out our own righteousness outside of Jesus. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, he believed in God. Well, I have my religion. Well, I've been to church, etc., etc., etc. Paul said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They missed the Messiah. That's a problem. That's what burdened him. That's why Jesus came. He came as a baby. Yes, we recognize that at Christmas time. We do every year. But he came with the cross in mind. He came to die for our sin. They missed that. They did not subscribe to that. And that's what burdened Paul, because they were still lost. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. Why would he pray that? Because they weren't. That's what burdened him. They would say all day long, I believe in God. But they missed God's offering in the Messiah. 2 points to bring this together. Just because they knew in their mind that there was a God and they were doing their best to keep the laws of Moses did not mean that they were in right standing with God. You still with me, friends? Just because they said, I believe in God, and they're doing their best to keep the laws of God, did not mean they were in right standing with God. If they were in right standing with God, Paul wouldn't have been saying, my heart's desire to God for Israel is that they would be saved. Listen to me now. I'm trying not to muddy the water. I'm trying to make this clear. A knowledge of God is good, but it's not where faith ends. You still with me, friends? It's not where faith ends. The gospel, according to Jesus himself, is one that calls us to repent of sin, embrace Christ by faith, and follow him. That's what he bid them to do. Come follow me. And friends, if we are not following Jesus, we are not his followers. And the Jewish people of Paul's day, by and large, were not following Jesus. That's what he's talking about. That's what burdens him. It grieved Paul's heart so, It should grieve the church's heart as well, I might add. It grieved Paul's heart so that he said, and I read this to you earlier, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. It grieved him that bad. So point number one, just because they knew in their mind that there was a God did not mean they were in right standing with him. I want us to understand that. That's why I ask the question, what have we done with the Messiah? What have we done with Christ? And number two, to the church, time is running out on humanity. I don't know if it's just our community, but I've seen a whole bunch of death lately. I think it's all over. Death is everywhere. Time is running out, either physically or the rapture could happen at any moment. The second return of Christ could happen. Time is running out. And my question for us in the church is, do we care about the lost like Paul cared about the lost? That's my question for us. Paul went so far as to say, I could wish that I were excommunicated from Jesus if only my brethren, my countrymen, fellow Jews would come to faith in Christ. Are we willing to go where Paul went with a statement like that? For my neighbors, I wish that I were excommunicated. For my family, for my coworkers, for my friends, are we willing to go where Paul went? When I read these verses, the lostness of the Jewish people kept him up at night, so to speak. And I wonder today if the church, who I make up part, and so do you and many others, I wonder if we have the same burden. Do we care of the lostness of people around us? You say, Jim, that's your job, or that's the Holy Spirit's God. Paul was the one that said, how can they know unless we tell them? How are people going to know what the real meaning of Christmas is if we don't tell them? How are we going to help share to our coworkers and our family and our friends and our neighbors the reason we celebrate this season is because of the Messiah, the incarnate God, who came as a baby, yes, but he came with the cross in mind. He came to die for our sin. And unless we embrace him as Messiah and Lord, we may as well exclude Christmas. Do we care in the church for the lostness of society? This Advent season, let me close with this, and then we're going to go to communion. Wouldn't it be good if we could find someone, a neighbor, coworker, family member, friend, whatever, that we might share what Christmas is all about, really about? Wouldn't that be good? We could tell people the real meaning for Jesus. The real meaning for Christmas is Jesus. Two questions for us to ponder. What have you done with the Messiah? To say I believe in God is a wonderful start, but what have you done with Jesus? Because he's the one that said he's the only way to the Father. Have you embraced him by faith? And if the answer is no, then please consider, I need to surrender my life to Christ. Basically offer, here I am, Lord. I believe you come as a baby and as a Savior for me. Take my life into your hands. I give it to you. Surrender your life to him. Repent of sin. Claim him as Lord. And if you have done that in the past, then the second question is, do we have the heart of Paul? Do we care? Do we care about the person we stand beside at work day after day or the neighbor across the street? Do we care enough to tell them there's good news and his name is Jesus? We've got some wonderful opportunities to invite people to church. As Pastor Charles mentioned, there's a Christmas program next week. I'm sure the message is going to get presented there. We've got Christmas Eve service coming up. You could invite them to that. We've got the whole Christmas season. You could invite them to so many different things. We've always got literature and brochures you can hand to people. And so I hope that this Christmas season, two things will happen. Number one, you'll decide, you'll solidify in your mind, I have claimed Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior. This is not about religion. Nicodemus was religious. This is about recognizing that God sent to us his Son to die for our sin. Yes, in our sin, we have had sin. This is about recognizing I need a Savior because I have been a sinner. That's what it's about. And so I hope that you'll really ponder this Christmas season. What have I done with the Messiah? And if you have embraced him as Lord, I hope you'll ask yourself, do I have the heart like Paul had? And if I do, then I should do something about that. Invite them, pray for them, encourage them, tell them about the Christ child who died on the cross for our sin. Amen. Friends, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If the Lord is speaking to your heart today, I don't want you to leave without responding to his call. The Lord loves you. God sent his Son to die for you. And if you've never embraced Christ as Messiah and Lord, do it by faith today. If you're here today and you're just wondering about that and just not sure and want to get right with him, slip your hand up and then down. I'm not going to sing you out, but I do want to pray for you. I do want you to acknowledge I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And for the rest of us, I pray that our heart is like Paul's. We are so burdened by those that may not have come to faith in Christ yet, that'll move us to action. Our Father and our God, we love you. We know that you love us. We know that you take care of us. Yes, life gets hard. Yes, things happen that we don't understand. Yes, we have questions, and sometimes we don't have answers. But Father, I pray that through it all, we'll put our faith and trust in you and your Son, that we will in fact believe in you, the living God, but that we will also believe and embrace Jesus as Christ, as Lord, as Messiah. I pray, Father, that we would do that this Christmas season if we've never done it before, because eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. And so, Father, if we're here today, or perhaps somebody was listening online, They're not sure. They've been part of a religion. They've been part of a church, but they're not sure they've embraced Christ as Messiah and Lord. I pray that they would do it today by faith and be born again. Be born of God. Have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray, but Father, today is the day of salvation for someone. And I pray for the church, that we would have the heart of Paul, that say in our spirit, I'm groaning and I'm agonizing and I'm in pain in my spirit because there are others who don't know Christ, and do something about it. Pray, hand out tracts, invite them to church, tell them about Jesus. I pray that the church would do something about what Paul did when he said, I have become all things to all men that I might win some. Go with us this day, Father. Heal the sick, we pray. Comfort the weary. Guide the wayward. Forgive us and use us for your glory. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation in Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen.